In some ways, it's a great step backward, as if we've returned in a kind of Life on Mars style to politics as it was almost in the 1970s, where you've got the old battle lines drawn. People would say that Alistair Darling, by promising to raise the top rate of tax, in some ways gave the last rites to New Labour, because that was the signature, if some ways defining, aspect of New Labour. Tony Blair giving that handwritten promise, we will not put up the top rates of income tax. And that was a way of saying, I'm not like the old Labour leaders of the past. We will not be like the Labour governments of the past. And Labour have stuck to that for 11 years. And by breaking that, yes, it did leak out over the weekend. In some ways, that muted the impact. But that is such a huge deal, because it says that that defining difference between today's Labour and the Labour parties of old has now gone. And it therefore immediately enabled George Osborne for the Tories yesterday to give an attack, which was really the kind of attack Tories have wanted to make for 15 years but not been able to, which is to say all Labour governments in the end make a mess of things. They always end up borrowing. And so he was able, as if he was suddenly running against Dennis Healey, which is how Tories have wanted to do it and not been able to for a very long time, simply because of that one burial of the idea that Labour will tax the rich, as the old 1970s slogan would put it.
What's made it possible for Labour to suddenly tear up the sort of article of faith for New Labour and begin to raise the rate, top rate of income tax?
It's the same thing that's enabled them to tear up every other rule book, including old Gordon Brown's sort of fiscal rules about the only borrow to invest, etc. And that is a global economic crisis, or at least that's crucial to their argument, is to say these are circumstances no one could have predicted and that are no fault of ours. This is just a global worldwide trend. He repeated it in the speech yesterday, Darling saying, this problem, even the Americans admit, he said, started in America, not our fault. But it's meant that everything's upside down and the old rules no longer apply. We've got such a serious recession that we can really do whatever it takes to make it shallower and less sharp and briefer than otherwise it would be.
And action announced by Barack Obama yesterday and at the weekend makes it even more easy for Labour to change direction in this way.
I think the Obama presidency is still incoming, changes and gives a lot of political cover to the Labour government, because a whole lot of things that would have once been taboo, suddenly you can say, well, not only this very popular figure, but specifically an American president, in other words, the head of the world's most capitalist country, he's doing it, therefore you can't accuse us of being some old pinko socialists. Even though he hasn't yet done this, his election campaign promised that, yes, it would make sure that the bottom 95% would see no increases in tax. Therefore, by implication, Obama's election promise was that the top 5% may well pay more in income tax. Now, the proposal that came from Alistair Darling yesterday was only really for the top 1 or 2%, but he's now got political cover. He can just say, well, you know, if you've got a problem with what I'm doing, talk to Barack Obama. He's doing the same thing. I think this may happen in a whole lot of areas of progressive politics where, of all people, the President of the United States gives cover for a British Labour Party.
And the Conservatives revived not a campaign of the 1970s, but a campaign of the 1990s with their tax bombshell, warning that Labour are going to have to raise taxes in the future. But actually, this bombshell's timed to go off after the next election.
That's right. And that's why I don't think they can play the sort of stealth card and say that, which was crucial in the 92 campaign, that there were hidden taxes. You don't know what you're letting yourself in for. Alistair Darling, I think, tried very hard to see off that point by saying, here's the small print in large print. Here it is. Here's what I'm going to do. And then to say, but don't worry, you won't feel the pain yet. Now, that's a really unusual political gamble, because what he's saying there is, you know, now that you know there's no deception involved, vote for me anyway, because you know what you'll be getting. But is there an example? You have to work hard to find an example of a government, a party, being elected, promising overtly and explicitly higher taxes. It is quite unusual. There are the odd examples, but it's a very unusual gamble. And it's particularly a pointed gamble for Labour, because they won 3 times by doing the very opposite and promising to keep income tax at the same level. So they're taking a huge risk here. It's not just that top rate on people over earning over 150,000. In a way, the politics of that should play quite well, because you can easily spin that and say that's the super rich and the bankers, the evil bankers who got us into this mess. What about that rise in national insurance, 0.5%? That's going to affect everybody. Even actually anyone earning over 40,000 is going to pay, it's only £156 per year, which for people in that bracket shouldn't feel like too much. But it enables the Tories to say everybody, including middle Englanders, middle Britainers, people over 45, earning over 40,000 are going to pay more. For a political party to go into an election with that around their neck, that's a huge gamble.